summary.
How are you?
Oh, I'm lovely. How art thou?
I'm tired.
Girl, preach. You know when, like, you fall asleep, and I'm saying it with air quotes, because, yeah, like, you all of a sudden will, like, quote-unquote, wake up, and you're kind of like, was I up this whole time? Or was I asleep? Like, I had that moment at 1 a.m. Yeah. And funny enough, like, my watch is really good at tracking my sleep. It didn't even clock me falling asleep until 2 a.m., which was after Leah woke up. So I'm like, what was I doing? Like, what was I doing before 1 a.m.?
You were probably sleeping, but, like, not in, like a deep state, maybe?
Maybe. Like, was I had to have been moving then or something, like, if my watch didn't clock me sleeping.
Yeah.
So I'm tired today. And of course, I have a solo evening again. So I'm
I have no reason to be tired. I fell asleep pretty, I don't want to say early, but like early quickly yesterday, last night. I slept great. I was up at like 6:30 to drive Gil to the train. But I could just like, I can use a nap.
The thing with naps though is once I'm down, sometimes I want to stay down. Or, like, I'll feel groggy and worse afterwards. Like, I know they say, like, a 20-minute nap is actually the most ideal thing in the entire world. Because then you don't feel groggy.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like I could sleep a lot longer than that.
I mean, I definitely think you could. I'm a very good cat napper. So, like, I really could just go down for...
That's pretty amazing.
For, like, 20 minutes. It's honestly so nice. Which I think is probably what I would have done if I did fall asleep on the couch.
Okay.
If I'm hungover or like, then my naps are a lot longer. But if I'm just like feeling a little tired around like 3-4 o'clock, like I could do a quick 20-minute cat nap and it's great and it's invigorating. And I think I really could have used one today because now I'm like, wait, what? And yeah. I X out of my Kindle app accidentally. So I'm just like, I'm having a time, but it's fine because today we are here to talk about Left of Forever by Tara DeWitt. And I feel like, at least for us, because we read it so long ago.
So long ago.
No, like over a year ago, guys. I feel like it's a long time coming that we're finally able to really talk about it.
Yes.
Finally. Relis is here.
Yes. Your edits were so good.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, I know you shared it with me earlier, but just to call it out, it was some good edits.
I was feeling... We talk about this a lot, like, especially with creating content, how sometimes we're, like, idea after I'm like, yes, I'm on. Like, I'm, like, on fire. And then there are weeks where I just don't even want to take a single photo.
No. Or, like, even log in. Like, there's some days where I'm like, I didn't go on Instagram today.
Yeah, no, you can definitely tell when we don't go because we haven't even shared a story. Sometimes I'll, like, go on at night and be like, what's going on in the book world?
Yeah, right? Oh my God.
Well, like, what have I missed? Like, I've definitely missed something.
I will say, I don't know about you, but I feel like my source of truth for book information and recommendations has shifted in the past year. I feel like I was very heavily reliant on the TikTok world, whereas now I'm like, no, Instagram, bookstagrammer. I mean, even though a lot of us post cross-platform.
Yep.
I just feel like I'm going to take a recommendation from someone on Instagram rather than TikTok. I don't know why. I don't know why.
I feel like I'm opposite, but I don't use our BookTok account for anything besides posting.
True, I do.
Yeah, I was going to say. I'll like log into our book account and it's like strollers, car seats,
yep,
running. And I'm like, Katie's been here. And then like
which could be why I take my recommendations more so from Instagram, because even though on my like FYP page, like for your page, like I still get the people we follow.
Yeah.
But I feel like I get people, I'm like, who? It's TikTok, so like anyone's on there, but I'm like, I don't know. Like it's like a one-off. So I'm like, do I trust you? I don't know.
Yeah. My algorithm for my personal TikTok is like the complete opposite of what our BookTok Instagram algorithm is.
I can only imagine what your TikTok
it's like. It's like a cesspool of just like weird shit. But and then like Taylor Swift edits and like thirst traps of like Pedro Pascal, which
So bizarre.
I'm not mad about it.
Not mad about it.
The Venice Film Festival, it looks great. I think they're in Venice.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, it's completely different. So I feel like when I do see a recommendation on my normal algorithm, it's probably just something that's like super, super popular already. Like I was seeing a lot of Silver Elite.
We need to talk about that really quickly.
Yeah, we will definitely talk about that before we jump in. And I don't know. I just have such a crazy TBR, like physically, that I just feel like I haven't been taking recommendations. I've just been kind of like reading what I want and kind of saying out of the book space because I'm trying to whittle down the books that I already have.
No, I get that.
And if I'm in the book space, then I will be deterred from my TBR.
TBR.
Yeah.
I feel like I went a few weeks of like, someone give me something to read. I don't know. Like, I just feel like physically I didn't know what to pick up, whereas I had a few audiobooks ready. And I've been trying to do more fantasy on audio because I feel like with fantasy, if you take a lot longer to read them and you only read it in spurts, and we're talking like 20-minute spurts here,
yeah,
you kind of lose the plot or like the vibe of the book. Whereas like if it's romance, I feel like it's pretty easy to fall into and you can do some damage in like 20 to 30 minutes with reading. So my Audible, I should say, backlist has been pretty standard. But like all of a sudden, as of today, and even like a little bit last week, I was like, oh my God, I have like 8 million bajillion things that I want to like read and listen to now. So yeah. I'm quite set. And I will say, funny enough, Night in the Moth released today by Rachel, and I don't know how to say her last
Gillig.
Name. Thank you. Her narrator, not saying she's bad. I for some reason do not pay attention very well when the narrator is British. I feel like I'm being lulled to sleep.
Yeah, I could see that.
So even though it sounds beautiful, no way your girlfriend can run and listen to that. I think I'd be on the sidewalk passed out with a blanket and a pillow. So I went to Silver Elite. It is narrated by Amanda Dolan. She does a phenomenal job. And I think because this is dystopian.
Mm-hmm.
Listen. I think if you haven't made your mind up of what you want to do with this yet, I think you need to think of a couple things and or just remind yourself of a couple things. This is an author who is a published author.
Yeah.
And she's writing under a pen name. She knows how to write. I'll tell you that. This was 100% a fun book.
Yeah.
She, from the moment you start, shit is happening.
Yeah.
Like you are in the thick of it, which I'm here for some movement, some action, some mystery, some intrigue. I am not very far in. I probably listened to about like 20%. Go in for vibes. Go in for fun, cool vibes. Good vibes. Okay. Just
vibes,
like,
not plot.
I mean, I'm liking the plot, but I just... more to come. More to come next week.
You can fill us in next week when we spill the tea. Before we get in, though, to this book, I want to say that we want to congratulate both Tara and Liz. On pub day today. So obviously Left It Forever came out today, as did Rewind It Back by Liz Tom 40. We will be talking about Rewind It Back in 2 weeks with Liz on the podcast, so stay tuned for that. So we're not ignoring it by only talking about Left It Forever today, but I just wanted to congratulate those two because both of these books are going to be on my like top books of the year list. Yes. At the end of the year. And like I said, I'm just happy we can finally talk about it now because we meet Sage. Not Sage. We meet Ren and Ellis in Savor It with Sage because yeah. Ellis is obviously Sage's younger sister. I mean, oh my God, can I speak? I told you I needed this nap. Ellis is not Sage's younger sister. Sage is Ellis's younger sister.
Yes.
And Sage and Ren are best friends. Ren and Ellis are childhood best friends. And they turn, I guess, like what, like they're childhood best friends. So Ren's just always been part of the family. Ellis's parents both pass away young, so Ellis kind of has to adopt his siblings and help raise them. Ren and him do start dating. They do fall pregnant. She gets pregnant. Mm. I think they're like 18 years old when this happens. And they basically all grow up together and like raise Sam together, and they have this like wonderful family and marriage. And then things, like life in general, right? Things start going not great. But Ellis is the kind of guy who he wants to take on everybody's burdens, but then doesn't want to burden anybody with his own crap.
Yeah.
So because of that, he is kind of like pushing Ren out. So they're going through a lot of like fertility issues, and she finally does get pregnant. She has an ectopic pregnancy. She loses the baby, and she has like a lot of complications, and like she almost dies. And instead of the two of them working through that together, he just kind of goes and makes the executive decision to have a vasectomy because he never wants Ren to be put in that position again. And whatever, blah, 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 they get divorced. Which, like, it just breaks my heart because, like, you know, even when they're going through this, they're so madly in love with each other.
Yes.
Like
they can't, like, he can't eat her baked goods. They could barely look at each other. Like, yeah. Even though they're attempting, quote unquote, to move on, like, you do find out that she has slept with other people. She is, I'm using the word dating quite loosely because yeah. I think it's just more of a one to twosie time thing. And there's nothing, she, you know, in her heart of hearts, there's, she's probably with these men and she's like, this is never going to go further than what this is. But she doesn't want to ever hear about his dating life. And yeah, you could totally tell, like, there's just still that. Yeah. That connection deep down,
and they obviously like through. Yeah, and they obviously divorce not because they don't love each other, but because of the communication. I think is like the biggest thing. There's just a very big lack of, and they are going through, I guess, a very traumatic experience with like the loss of the pregnancy and everything that came from that. Ren's mother is also diagnosed at this point with MS, which like her mother is doing fine, but I think it was just like a lot all at once. And the person that Ren typically would obviously lean on being her husband, she felt like she didn't have that. And he just, instead of opening up, kind of shut down even more. So they spend, I think it's like 4 or 5 years divorced, separated. And then when their son Sam is leaving for college, well, a little bit prior to that, right? So Ellis is a firefighter. He fights forest fires or whatever. There's probably a better term for fire, like, than firefighter.
Is it
like
a jumper? Is it a jumper?
I don't think he's a jumper because those are the ones who jump out of planes.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But, like, he fights wildfires.
He's on the ground, yeah.
He's a man he's on the ground. Anyway, firefighter is, if there is a better term for what he does, please let me know. He's out in Colorado. He is fighting a forest fire out there. So the butterfly effect, which is used very loosely on TikTok these days, because everyone's like, if I never downloaded Hinge, I wouldn't have met my boyfriend. That's not butterfly effect. That's cause and effect. Anyway, butterfly effect is that he's literally out in Colorado, blah, blah, blah. We can go through the whole thing. And he ends up with a care package from Ren's bakery all the way out in Spoons, Oregon. I'm like, not Forks, Washington.
Not Forks,
yet.
Yeah.
Not Forks, Spoons. Spoons. Anyway, and she has like a note in there. She's worried about these two horses. He knows it's her. He immediately starts writing. She has no idea that it's him that she's conversing with. And through this and through like them kind of, I mean, Ellis knows it's Ren. Ren has no idea who she's corresponding with. But through this, he kind of realizes that there's still hope for them and that he's still like obviously hopelessly in love with her. So when Sam is getting ready to leave for college, Ellis at this point has like gone to therapy and like really started working on himself. So he suggests that they go on a road trip. So they bring Sam down to college in California. And on the way back, they road trip back together and they make like little pit stops and see if they can rekindle their relationship. And they do. And it's wonderful.
They do. I feel like, I'm not comparing the two, so please don't take this way.
No.
But in a lot of second chance romances, I shouldn't say a lot. In particular, I'm thinking Out of the Woods by Hannah Bonham Young.
Yes.
And I feel like a lot of times, and again, I could be wrong, but, you know, life fucking happens, right? Like,
yeah.
Especially if you start dating at a younger or you're married at a younger age, you go through shit. And kids just make things, again, loosely, kids don't make things easier. They make things harder, but it's a beautiful thing, right? Like, kids mm-hmm. don't fix issues. So, like, they navigate Sam so well being, like, these young parents. But you're right. Like, all these burdens and these moments happen with the fertility issues and decisions being made without consulting one another. And I feel like if your person, if the guy or the girl you're married to, or whoever you're married to or partnered with, if they're not your best friend, shit gets tough fast, right? Yeah. 'Cause like, if you can't turn to that person and like communicate and talk, I feel like that's just like step one down a bad path. And yeah, that's exactly what happened to the two of them. Just like you said, Ren felt like she couldn't turn to Ellis. And like, he even, when she finds out, like, I felt like a moment of like soul crushing. Like, I feel like I got punched in the chest mm-hmm. when she finds out he's been through therapy now. And she's like, oh, so he freaking goes now. But when I asked him, yeah, like, he like, you get like a therapy. Like, I'm not yeah. going to therapy. So it's just like, I will say we read this and we loved it, but we both agreed that the narrator does something with this story.
The narrators really add like another level of like angst. I don't want to even yeah. say angst, but just like they just something. Brought Ren and Ellis to life. Like, I'm like, okay, I know now exactly who they are.
Yes. And I that's what I mean. Like, I felt it when she said yeah. that. 'Cause it's like, I feel like sometimes even in just my conversations with Tom, like, I'll want to vent and that's just who I am by nature. Mm-hmm. Whereas he definitely takes on more like an Ellis nature where like he's carrying more of the burdens. He's not going to open his mouth up to me. He's going to let me go through my shit and vent. But whatever he's got going on, he's like, I'm going to hold my baggage in. Yeah. Like, I'm going to figure me out. But if you need help, I'll figure you out too. Like, that can sometimes lead to a spiraling downfall. You can't take on the weight of everyone and never offload. You yeah. will crumble.
And like, I think, okay, so they are about our age. So they are in their yeah. mid-30s. They have a son that's literally leaving for college. Like, they were very young when they had yes, Sam.
They were 18 and 19.
Yeah. And so when they leave, so when they have Sam, like, they are kids. I mean, like, Ellis truly was like a huge burden was placed on him when he turned 18 with like having to take care mm-hmm. of his siblings. And then all of a sudden now his girlfriend's pregnant and that's another burden put on his shoulders. And he was so young and just so used to always like shouldering the burden that I yeah. think it just became so ingrained in him that he never really had time to grow up. He was kind of like thrust into adulthood and then like just plateaued and didn't know how to keep growing.
Well, I couldn't even imagine being in that situation where you're now so like, imagine, like, if you or I, if we only had each other as friends, right? And, mm-hmm. like, I'm a mom right now. Like, if all I had was you, but, like, you could help and give advice, but like, it gets, like, who do you turn to? So, like, I'm sure in Ellis's mind, he was like, who do I speak to? Like, I don't have parents.
Yeah.
So I couldn't imagine being in that situation where the people that are your people can't really relate to you.
Yeah.
Or help you. Like, they can help you. Like, you could sit there and talk me off a ledge, but, like, right. sometimes unless you walk a mile in the shoes that yeah. person's in, then you're like, oh, shit.
And, like, who's he supposed to turn to? His, like, 14-year-old sister or however old Sage is when all this is going on?
Oh, my God, like, she's worried about stupid boy drama and, like.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm not going to, like, he does, again, like, I'm going to say burden again, but it's the same thing, right? Because even with Silas is, like, yeah. open up to me, like, tell me what I can do to help you. Like, Silas is getting so upset and so angry. Because he feels like he wants to be there for his brother and his brother won't let him be there for him, which is yeah. like super frustrating as a sibling or a friend. Like, just tell me what I can do to help you.
Yeah.
Stop being the fucking hero.
Yeah. Let it
go. And Ellis finally does get it. Like, that's yeah. why I know people like have an issue with second chance romance in general. And I think even more when it's like a divorce, because they're like, well, if they got divorced and it obviously wasn't. No, like, these two are soulmates. Ellis is the best man on the planet. They just had shit and they just handled it incorrectly and they fixed their problems.
And I will say, I feel like that's kind of nice. 'Cause again, she points out in the story too, like how many times do you do this, right? Like, you say shit just to get a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times at the ripe age of 35 that I'll say shit. 'Cause I was like, I want fucking Tom to react to me.
Yeah.
So that's what she did. I think like, and she says it like, I threw out like, well, let's just get a divorce. And they were just so beaten down.
Yeah.
That he was just like, let me just give her what she wants. If she wants to be rid of me, then...
Yeah. And again, he did it out of love for her. Like, yes. If she will be happy to be rid of me, then I will give her that. And, like, yeah. she was just, like, kind of wanted him to fight for her. But I also think it was to the point where... I mean, I've been in this situation with Gilby before, where like you're just so mad when you're like, I want you to fight for me, but I also don't want to hear your voice. Like,
no, literally,
it's like a lose-lose situation. Yes. And I feel like Ellis was it kind of in that situation. He could have fought and it could have pushed her further away, or he's like, I love her so much, if this will make her happy, I'm gonna give it to her. But and like I like too at the end, obviously when they're talking, they're like, you know, we'll love each other with whatever's left of forever.
Plug right there.
I do love it. I love it when it's like thrown in. But like there's not like a regret. Like they have regrets from their past, but they don't regret their time apart because of how much it's like helped them grow and like how much better off they are now.
I agree. I feel like that's something I struggle with myself. That's why therapy was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I can sit here and I will harp on something that I said from 2012.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's like, Katie, let the fuck go, bitch. Like, move the fuck on. Like, I will say my one aunt said something to me that I'll never forget. And I know she meant it in a kind way. So, like, don't take this as, like, wow, your aunt's an asshole. Because that's not what she is. Like, she's just spitting the truth. But, like, she straight up looked at me. She goes, no offense, but what makes you think you're that important? That simple, like, thing that you said. Mm-hmm. That someone's going to keep thinking about it for years to come. She's like, even if you were that important, you really think someone might remember like a very blasé statement? And like, right. I feel like that's something now that I carry with me. So yeah, like your regrets are your regrets, but they do mold you to who you are today. And like things like that, that happen, as I lose my voice, help direct you for like the future, right? Like if you say something and you kind of almost are embarrassed by yourself by saying something, chances are you're probably never going to say that again.
Yeah.
Or you're going to make sure you rephrase things differently so you don't insult or hurt someone's feelings. Like you're just going to watch yourself now.
Yeah.
So I think that's important to realize, like you have to sometimes let go of those things and just, there's just forward movement only.
Yeah. And again, like if they could have forced themselves to stay together and they could have gotten a lot worse and they could have ended up hating each other. So like maybe calling it when they did, when there was still like a lot of love between them. Maybe it was for the best. And like, again, they did get to grow and I like loved watching them re-fall in love with each other. Ellis knew, Ren was like, okay, like she would admit it. She's like, you know, if you ask me, like, I obviously still love him, but like, I need to move on. Ellis is very just much like, she's the love of my life. I will literally never move on. Like he
like
is
the minute he sees those letters, he's like, no, this is it. Fighting chance, man. I'm going for it.
He falls to the wall.
Yeah, like he was like, no, I'm in. Like, this is all I needed. This is literally all I needed.
He needed like a millimeter of hope. And he said, he's a babe.
He needed spittle.
Yeah. And he said, babe, I'm coming for you.
And he, could you imagine also being in her, like, I think of it as like our situation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're married to my cousin. So nothing's ever going to happen to you. But like, the purpose of this conversation, I apologize. I never want to spew bad energy like that. But like, if something were to happen, like, no offense, but like, I want to kick Gil out and keep you. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Duh.
Actually, I think the whole family, no offense, probably feels the same way.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's like, but that's the exact situation that she's in. Like, her best friend is her husband's sibling.
Yeah. And so she helped raise them. Like, she helped raise them. And she's like best friends with Silas and Mike. And she's been there since. They were all one. Like she's just always been there. So even when they're doing holiday parties, she's there and she's invited. But then she's like, I also feel like I'm encroaching on this family that's not really my family anymore because we're divorced. And like, how do you navigate that? And so she's typically there. Ellis won't eat any of her desserts. He doesn't think he deserves them. He has to keep punishing himself. I can't have her desserts if we're not together anymore. Like, ugh, he's such a martyr. And such a martyr. I know. And then like the final. Like I think it's Thanksgiving. This is when he's fine. He's got the letters. He's starting to get hope. He's like, okay, like let's go. He like eats her dessert. She's like, oh, this means he's moved on. Like they are just on completely different pages. He's like, I'm gonna eat this bitch's dessert, and that's gonna show her that I'm ready. And then she's like, oh, he's totally over me if he can manage to eat my dessert now. So she just like doesn't show up for Christmas. Obviously, she sees the text from Kirby, who is a very platonic, much younger friend.
Yes.
And she just completely misinterprets it. Obviously, I would, too. I think that's just like a thing that girls do. Like, I could see. OK, so my mother-in-law's name is Deb. I could see like a text from Deb and I'll be like, who the fuck is, who's she? Huh? Like, I'm kidding. But you know what I mean? Like,
we can, you can spin anything in your head. Like, we are, I always say a woman's intuition is telling you something, but I can also be like, why is my mom texting you, huh?
What are you doing?
Yeah. Like, what are you guys talking about?
What are you plotting? Yeah. What is happening? We're quite awful. Yeah. And I love how she even kind of calls him out too. And she's, I guess, like, he cops like who Kirby is and how he spoke to her about his feelings.
Yeah.
And that even bothers her. She's like, you can't even be trust. Like, you can't even trust me with that information.
Yeah.
But like, flip side, I get it also. Like, how do you, after being divorced for a few years, turn around to this person and is like, let me just emotionally dump everything onto you. Like, that could also go a very wrong way as well.
And like, but I
understand where she's coming from.
Yeah, because like, you want, because like, we've said, we're gonna keep repeating this, they've never stopped loving each other, and all Ren has ever wanted is for Ellis to unburden himself on her. And when she finds, I mean, he's obviously talking to somebody who's a completely objective third party. He's like, I can't talk to my siblings about this because they love Ren, and I don't want to put this burden on, and again, I'm saying burden again, he doesn't want to put it on them to have to like pick sides or like whatever. They know too much. So he tells this objective third party, she's like, you obviously still love your ex-wife.
Yeah.
And then of course Ren is like, I wish you could have just told me all of this. And he opens up, obviously. And I like that, like, once they kind of get together, there's like no question of whether they're going to be together. Ellis is questioning it because Ren's mad at him when she finds out about the letters, because he doesn't tell her. Stupid man. But she's like, no, like, I'm mad at you. And that's when, I mean, there's like the whole quote when he's like, just like, he's like, I don't care. Just like, talk to me, force me to talk to you, force me to fight with you. Like, because like, just be with me and like, force me to, I will be whatever you want me to be because you are my soulmate. And then they're like, should we fuck with our families? Should we pretend like we're not together when we get back? And like, they last for like a second.
A literal second.
And then like, they do like the big kiss and everyone is like, obviously jumping for joy. But I just like love their journey from the beginning. Like,
yeah.
And the way that this book is written, it's like, okay, so the beginning is like the letters. And then it like morphs into like, he comes home and now they're home and it's the fall and it's the holidays. And then it's like skips ahead now until they're about to bring Sam to college. And then we get kind of them like, you know, over the summer a little bit on their road trip. So I feel like you get, it's not like they just like, oh, should we try to be together? And a week later, now they're together. Like, this has been like in the making for months.
And I will say, I think Tara does the second chance very well for that reason and that reason alone. You are divorced for 4 years. There was something that, like, there was a bunch of things that undid what you guys had. You made this decision, you divorced, time had passed. Like, I think a lot of times people have issues because it doesn't seem believable, or like the issue is like the stupidest issue known to mankind. Not saying you can't break up because of stupid issues, but like, one little silly thing, I feel like people just run to get those divorce papers, and it's like, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, we love each other. It's like, I don't believe you. Like, I don't believe this. So like you're saying, like, to kind of span this time frame where this is his plan in the making, but it's still not happening until literally like a half a year later. So it's like, it makes sense.
Yeah. And you're getting both POVs. So you are understanding each of them and what they were feeling and what they were going through and how neither of them ever stopped loving each other. There's like the most wonderful quote, and I'm going to butcher it, and I'm not going to like sit here and try to find it, but it's basically like, I believe it's Ella says it to Ren. He basically says something along the lines of like, how her being pregnant with Sam, he's like, my DNA changed you. He's talking about like her body, but like in the same breath.
Okay, yeah.
Like, he's like, our DNA like mixed together and like it changed you. And like, I don't know. I mean, if I find it and I can like actually read it aloud, I will. I know I can just search for it if that's what you're going to do. But it's just like something so like real. And I think that just like Tara's writing in general is, we've said this every time we've talked about any of her books, she writes such realistic characters and such realistic like issues where I believe these are real people. I believe what they're going through is like a real thing. And then the way that she's just like so poetic in describing like human emotion and that like it just sounds so beautiful.
Yeah. The quote is, "My DNA mixed with yours and it altered your very bones, bird." He stepped closer. Okay, hold on. So, I don't give a fuck who you've slept with or how many times. I don't give a fuck if you have a boyfriend right this minute. We belong to each other in ways no one else ever will.
Yeah, it just,
I don't know, like, and then that's when she's like, just tell me plainly this trip. It'd be to see if we should give us a chance. And he's just like, yes.
Yeah.
I want to be upfront about my intentions. Yeah. Oh my God.
And then she says too, like in the beginning, I think it's in her note that she's like writing to him that she doesn't know is him. And she says, I grew up with my great love. I think maybe my heart took shape around his. Like they are just so intertwined with each other. Even if you remove Sam and you remove the family and everything, her heart took shape around his. Like they're meant to be together.
Yeah. I think that's why I liked this so much. It seemed believable. It seemed relatable. I think at this point, like I've been with my husband for 12 years,
mm-hmm.
not married, but like together 12 years. You've been with Gil for longer.
15.
I think there's like parts of this that you can understand because even in your greatest moments, there's fights, there's stupid bickering, there's stupid issues that you're dealing with. And as you grow and develop into the person that you like, and again, when you're starting out in your early 20s and now you're in your mid 30s, you may not change drastically, but you do shift, right?
Yeah.
Like you throw in other things into that mix, things happen. It's a lot. So like, I feel like this was so believable. Like you said it perfectly. This is so believable. I believe these are real people. I believe in their love. I believe that they're going to last.
Yeah.
They just needed to travel their own path. I do really love how he never strayed. Like he may have like been on dates. But he didn't do anything on those dates. Like
listen, if it's a second chance romance, she's allowed to do whatever she wants.
He's not allowed to.
He has to be celibate for years.
100%.
Like, I don't want to hear about, like, unless we're, like, it's, like, a childhood thing and, like, they've been apart for, like, 20 years. But I hate when I read a second chance and, like, the woman is, like, celibate and he's just, like, out doing whatever he wants to do. No. Because he should be, she could do whatever she wants. I support women's rights and wrongs. That man better be celibate for her. And he was.
He was.
And we all know that he's hot. Like, he's got a mustache. I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I love a mustache. My husband will not grow one out for me. So I made Katie's sister's husband grow one out for me.
And he did it for
and
you.
And he did it. And he still has it. It was only supposed to be for my birthday. It's May.
Her birthday's in December.
Which I know that sounds weird, but it's a funny thing. Okay, guys, like relax.
I feel like our family is a wee bit different.
We are a wee bit different, and I'm married to all of your husbands. I have because
it's allowed.
Yeah, it's right. It's not essential. So I'm the only one. Yeah.
It's funny because like rewind it back is a second chance as well.
Yes.
And again, like I personally love a second chance. I think you can fuck up a second chance pretty well. And I did read one that actually DNF'd as an arc. I was like,
I remember.
You need flashbacks. You need something that can help you understand the emotions, the thought process, and how they were feeling in those moments. Because to just reflect back, it's not enough. It doesn't bring to the forefront true feelings and intent. Like I want to, you're saying the angst. Like I want to feel this with them.
Yes.
I want to be the one in the second chance romance in this book.
Yeah.
I am the female main character in these books.
I love a second chance romance. I know people hate them, but first of all, this isn't real life, right? I mean, like I always am like, oh, what would I do in this situation? And then sometimes it pisses me off when somebody does what I wouldn't. But just because something didn't work out years ago doesn't mean that it's not going to work out. We have, as humans, we have to accept the fact and allow for people to learn and grow from their mistakes. Some people are like, oh, if you broke up the first time for a reason, then like that's still a reason. And it's like, well, maybe it's not still a reason.
Yeah.
I'm not the same person I was 5-6 years ago. Like maybe these made up fictional people grew while they were apart.
No,
and that's
but, like,
what I need
so
to believe.
True.
Like that's what I need to believe in order to believe the second chance, and that's what makes a good second chance romance. And that's why this one was so good, because I believed it. I was like, I know these people are in love. I know they're soulmates. I know that even apart from them, I know that they have a wonderful son that they like love, and that they'll be there. Like, I was just like, I believe in this.
I also really like how they kept their son at the forefront, right? Like, they were going to, even though maybe they didn't want to be near each other too long, too much, because it mostly just hurt because they were still obsessed with each other. They did anything, and they kept their feelings at bay for Sam.
Yes.
And that's very admirable, because like, shit does happen, and sometimes things just don't work out. And that's okay too. Like, sometimes you have to separate and move on and go different directions and find your other people, where the case might be.
Yeah.
But I think at the end, it's like super important to realize that there is a human, a tiny human, that didn't ask for all this.
Yeah.
And you have to keep thinking about them first.
You know, so they did a great job. I love how how Sam, Ren's mom, Silas, I believe as well, like, they were all kind of like conspiring, like, and like, oh, like, they canceled one of the rooms so they didn't have to sleep in the same room together. Yeah,
they're all like, in on this.
They were
this.
All kind of conspiring different ways.
But I think it's also probably you can always see things better from the outside, right? Like, they wouldn't have done this if they didn't see these two people and been like, you guys have been fucking in love with each other for the past 4 years. Like, give it up. Like, just someone make a move.
No, exactly. Especially like coming from, and I obviously Sage and Micah and Silas would want the best for Ellis.
Yeah.
So they didn't think Ren was the right person. They wouldn't force it, no matter how they felt about her. And they would. And
who pointed that out in the beginning when he was first talking about his plans?
It was Silas.
Like, you shouldn't do this, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Silas is like, no, don't do that to her. She's finally just kind of like moving on.
Yeah.
And then like, they obviously have more conversations and everything. And then Silas is like the number one like fan supporter of it, because him and Ren are so close.
Yes.
And it's so cute.
Well, plus you want your people happy at the end of the day. Like, if that's what you guys want, okay, let's do it.
Yeah, but
let's,
like,
I'm going to make this happen.
I love my brother. I love my sister-in-law. If they ever got divorced and I was like, oh, these people suck, like, together, I would never force them back together for my own, like,
happiness
need.
And sake. Yeah.
But if I was like, you guys are being idiots, I would do everything in my power. Yes. And that's kind of like what the family was doing.
It's so cute.
It's so cute. They have so many funny things, like the jalapenos when he gets them in his... In his,
oh my god,
in his eyes.
Yeah, yes. Like, and then other places too, so like the ice cream comes into play, then you gotta like tone it down. And
that is another thing that Tara does well. First of all, just like humor in general, there's a lot of humor. Like, yes, this is like a very, it's like, I think maybe her most heartfelt book, I would say.
I think so, yeah.
But there is still a lot of humor in it, because Tara's just funny, so I think even if she wasn't trying to, the humor like comes out. But we said this, I mean, I feel this way really with Funny Feelings, but it translates over into all of her books. The spicy scenes, and again, we're beating a dead horse because we say this all the time. There's nothing gratuitous about it. It's like the plot is moving forward and the relationship is getting stronger. She's not just like, and now they're fucking. Like, it's like, no, like, this is showing something, and it's like progressing the plot and it's progressing the relationship. And it's so realistic. They're not these like, there are just like some spicy scenes. I'm like, this is so unrealistic.
Yeah.
And it's just like nasty for the sake of being nasty. And sometimes that's great. But I just think it's not meant for every book. So I love the way that she like, they're getting down. It's hot. But it's so Ren and Ellis.
Yes.
And it is just progressing the plot.
Yes. And I like how, too, like, they're looking to explore a bit more with each other now, too. And they're, I don't know. I like that it wasn't like, let's just fall back into what we know. Like, yeah, we're good together when we're together. But, like, what else is out there for us? Like, this is, like, new and fun again. Like, let's explore that together. Yeah. It's cute.
It's so cute. And, like, when they're in, like, one that I'm completely blanking. It's like a little like car that goes like up the mountain.
Oh, like a rail or something, or
you know, like they're in that. They're going to the restaurant, and he has to like stand across from her and back, and like not
and
facing
he's like,
her.
I don't know which way to stand because it's all not good.
Yeah, he's struggling,
like,
and then when they finally kiss,
like no other.
When they finally kiss, and he's like, I'm coming. Like, it feels like I'm coming home. Like, you can't help but just like not want these two together.
I know, I love it so much.
And I like love the cameos, of course, of like Sage and Fisher, because you get their proposal.
Yes.
Which is so amazing. So I know that I know Tara's working on, and I'm gonna have to bother her 2 weeks when she's in New York. I'll be bothering her. Because I know she's writing Silas's book. And I need to know if we're going to get the wedding.
I know.
I feel like we are.
Probably.
Because I don't see how she could keep that from us.
I don't think so either. I also really liked, we should call this out. This is an interconnected series, if yes. you will. This is the first time she's done this. Like, normally yeah. she just writes standalones. So if you want like a cute little interconnected series, go for it. I mean, yeah. you should read all of her books. But I love, love, love that. Because sometimes it is nice just to get a standalone, right? Like just yeah. to read something and then carry on. And like all of her books are different.
Yes.
That's the beauty of a Tara yeah. DeWitt novel, is everything is unique in its own way.
Yeah.
As is she.
And she in does the best what, way. She does like what Emily Henry does, where she doesn't explicitly say that the person that she's talking about is a character from one of her other books, but she'll describe like there was like a pregnant volleyball player when they yeah. were when they're like on the coast of California, they're like looking at the beach and there's a really beautiful couple playing volleyball and she's pregnant and her husband's being overbearing and you're like, oh, the co-op.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There's like little things. And then in the co-op, they're talking about like, I think
they go to see
they like, yeah, like the they, yeah. he like, yes. They run into Meyer and Farley, like not like explicitly, but they talk about like a comedian and like all this, like there is.
Everyone has a little bit of a cameo.
Yeah. And it's Emily cute. Henry does it cute too, where you're like, if you're not looking for it, you can totally read past it and like not yeah, even realize it.
You don't need
it.
To read these books to realize it. Like, it's not like a moment, no. but it's like, it's just, okay.
It's a cute
just,
little, like, it's a cute little Easter egg for her, for the fans of her other books.
Yes.
It's very Taylor Swift. You know, Tara's a big Taylor Swift fan.
Yes.
Just like kind of dropping in like a little sprinkle and then just like moving on from it. Never happened.
Exactly.
And if you didn't read them, you wouldn't notice. And if you did read them, you probably would. But yeah, this is her first interconnected standalone series. We are getting Silas. We will eventually get Micah, who I'm just like, I need more of him.
I need more. I need to understand him a bit more.
Yeah, because we only see like a little itty bit yeah. of him in Savor It. And then we get a little bit more in Left It Forever. So I need to know more. He's obviously not playing baseball anymore. He was a professional baseball player. I just picture him with like kind of like a little mullet. Like,
he's going through some shit. Like, I know what he's going through, what's happening over there.
Yeah, like, I need to know what's going on with him.
Yes.
And then, like, I hope, like, one day in the future, we get a trip back to Spoons and we see maybe
another like, Christmas novella. If
well,
you will.
No, I was going to say, like, Sam's a little bit older.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Him and Indy, maybe.
Maybe. Interesting.
I wouldn't be opposed. I wouldn't even be opposed to the novella. Like,
just a little
something to think about, girl.
You know, I'm sure she has tons already in her mind. But yeah, like, can we have this, please?
I know. I should just like start a running tab of like books that I want, that I personally want her to write for me. I'm like, can you just write me fan fiction? Like, I just need, first of all, I need funny story written. Farley dies. I have to console Meyer. Now we're in love and we're married.
Only if she puts you in that bathing suit that Farley was wearing.
Girl, you know I'd wear it.
I know you would.
That's actually what my body looks like when I'm naked. I don't even need the bathing suit. I have just a hairy, pudgy... No, I'm kidding. Can you imagine?
No, I'd be like, girlfriend, we need to get you waxed on the regular. Or let's just go get you laser hair removal and call
she'd
it a
day. Like, she'd be like, why? Is it looking like that? Anyway, I give this 5 stars.
This was 5 stars, yes.
The eyeball read was great. I liked it the first time. I loved it. I should say, not liked it. That's downplaying. The audio was just
a different level.
I had to text her. I was at the gym and I was like, you know, I did my whole workout and I just like wanted to keep listening. And I was like, I just have to tell you, I don't know what these two put in here. And now I think, is it Megan Wicks? And
I was trying to pull it up before, then I got sidetracked.
I don't think it's Megan Wicks. No, it is Megan. Who is it?
Confirmed. Left of Forever. It is Megan Wicks and Connor Kreis.
Okay, that's what I thought. They have embodied Ren and Ellis. I don't know if I can ever hear them as anybody else now.
No.
Like, they will always be Ren and Ellis from now on, yeah. And I'm sorry to tell them that, because I know that they do amazing work, and I will be like, what is Ellis doing here?
Why is Ellis over here in whatever world that we're talking about
Why is Ellis in Brooklyn, New York right now, and who's this woman he's with?
What are you doing?
What are you doing, mate? Anyway, next week we'll be doing a Spilling the Tea episode. After that, on June 4th, we will be interviewing Liz in relation to Rewind It Back and just the Windy City series in general and what's coming next. So if you've read Rewind It Back, there are not subtle at all Easter eggs. No. You'll know exactly what she's writing next. It's a mix of small town and sports. So
I can't wait. She can give me a pile of shit. I'm like, this is the greatest fucking shit in the entire world. So
yeah, it's really a great day when two of your favorite authors put out new material on the same day.
Like, and what the fuck?
Thank God for advanced reader copies, because if I had to choose which one of these to read first.
I would have had to do like, okay, I'm going to read this, but then listen to the opposite. Like, I would have to do the same time.
Yeah, I feel like I probably would have started with Left of Forever just because Rewind It Back I would want to like savor that because it's the last book in a series. That's true.
Good point.
But then I think that in my head, I'd be like, no, that means I have to read it first because I don't want to hear anything. Which, again, I feel like you can't really spoil a romance book. You can, but like, I know that it's going to end happily ever after.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So like, I'm like, oh my God, they ended up together. Whoa. Anyway, yeah, no, I'm just, thank you, any higher being for advanced reader copies, because I didn't have to choose.
Seriously. Bless.
Bless. Yeah, so that's all we have. Like I said, I know what we'll be doing the first week of June. We have not discussed anything else. Next Tuesday, there's a shit ton of books coming out, so you might see one of those on our list in June, but we'll discuss it offline. TBD. Anyway, Katie Jean, it is your turn. Can you please send us out?
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.